You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reformed book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent usage of sarcasm may occur. So here we are on episode 3, and I'm super excited to get back to you guys. Last week got a little heavy, and I really do appreciate all of the feedback from everyone who popped into the Facebook page and Instagram page and the different groups to let me know what they thought. So, and the messages were awesome. So thank you guys so much for all of that and for sharing. I hope you'll continue to share this as we continue to go through this journey together. And hopefully today, maybe a little bit lighter, I'm not even really sure, but it is time to set some new information down. I've got my notes in front of me, and I've got a full cup of water next to me, my nice blue Yeti. So hopefully we'll get through. If you hear a little sip sip occasionally, that's because I've been talking for most of the day today, and it's getting to that point where a little bit later in the day, and going to be reaching for the water a little bit more often. But anyway, so got a question for you. How likely are you to judge a book by its cover? We all grew up with that, right? Never judge a book by its cover. You walk into the library and there's a variety of books in front of you, and some of them have these beautiful covers on them, and some of them have plain covers on them. And we're always told literally, don't judge a book by its cover. And then we're told figuratively, don't judge a book by its cover. So, you know, there's that translation of don't think you know what's inside based on the way the outside looks. And I love that lesson, that figurative lesson, but I also really love the literal lesson there too. Because in the romance world, especially the indie author world, there's been a lot of chatter lately about book covers. And so my first question is, how likely are you to judge a book by its cover? And what about the person reading the book? How likely are you to judge them based on the cover of the book? I'm very much a you do you type of person. And I've noticed that that applies to both authors who choose the covers for their books and the people who choose which covers to buy. And okay, I know a lot of you are doing that confused dog head tilt now because here go the brain squirrels. So let's back up and let me explain. There's been a lot of chatter and discussion on social media lately about what are being called discreet covers for romance novels. And discreet covers, if you're not familiar with the term, because this was new to me, they're the covers that don't advertise the book as a romance novel. There's no man candy, eye candy cover. Sometimes they are literally just a title or a title with a little bit of artwork and the author's name. But there's nothing on it that represents what the book is as far as it being a romance novel. Now, I 100% understand why people who love them love them. Okay, I'm a Kindle reader. Unless you're reading over my shoulder, or I choose to tell you what I'm reading, you will probably have no clue what I'm reading just by looking at me. Of course, maybe it's one of those spots in a book, and maybe you can tell what I'm reading by looking at my face. But either way, if you ask, and I don't want you to know what I'm reading, I could lie to you with my Kindle in front and tell you that, you know, I'm reading Dickens. Okay, so in some circles, I might actually get judged harsher for voluntarily reading Dickens than I would be for reading a romance novel. But when I first started reading romance novels, if I did read paperbacks, there was a time I would not have brought one out with me in public because I was terrified of being judged. And that paperback would instantly give me away to whoever was looking at me about what I was reading. But on the Kindle, there was no way for someone to tell what I was reading. I could have been playing a game, reading an article, watching a movie or a show, or reading any number of different things. So part of my recovering book snob process was owning what I was reading in public. To me, that was an important step, being able to not tell people but show them what I was reading. Don't get me wrong, I still brought my Kindle everywhere, but I made it a point sometimes if I had a paperback and I was going somewhere to bring that version with me to read while I was out. Started slowly with coming out to, you know, friend family gatherings and things with my paperback and showing friends what I was reading and my family what I was reading. But there were still places I read that might not have been appropriate for a suggestive eye candy cover. For example, the front desk at the dojo where I teach and I work, because I really didn't need the young ones, because some of our students are as young as 4, asking what I was reading, because the little ones love books. And I did not need them asking me what I was reading and then having to explain what I was reading or show them more of the cover. That might have been a little bit inappropriate in a professional capacity. So the Kindle was great, and I was not going to bring a paperback book with me to work, to read in front of the students. So the Kindle was good, and the discreet covers would have been really good as well as a nice alternate for that situation. But I honestly wasn't even aware of discreet covers and that they existed until really recently. And I do mean really recently, like a couple of months ago. I knew about alternate covers. And okay, they might fall into the same category, to be quite honest, I'm not sure. But I don't consider them to be the same. And even the alternate covers, I wasn't really made aware of until I started following one particular author. So, if any of you are familiar with A.M. Johnson, if you're not, you need to acquaint yourself with her books really, really fast. She writes a variety of contemporary new adult and male romance novels. The contemporary are male female, new adult is kind of across the board, but it's her male romance novels that I absolutely fell in love with. And those are the only books I've read from her backlist so far, are her male books. But she very quickly became one of my absolute favorite authors. I love her writing style. She is very poetic. Her prose is rhythmic and beautiful and descriptive and deep. Her conversations, her dialogue are authentic and really genuine to the characters that she's creating. And she has these alternate illustrated covers for the books in her For Him series. And they are stunning. Now, she has beautiful eye candy, man candy covers for her books that are available on Amazon. But on her website, she has these alternate illustrated covers. And I don't think of them as discrete covers because they very clearly depict the characters on the covers. And they clearly depict the characters as being two male characters. They very clearly allude to relationships between the two. So, to me, while they're illustrated and they're not the beautiful photographic eye candy covers that are available through Amazon, they are not discreet. They do indicate what the book that I'm reading is about. So, I guess the illustrated covers are a little less obvious than the man candy covers. But they're not hiding what I'm reading to anyone who wants to take a look at the cover itself. They're going to know from looking at the cover that I'm reading a romance novel. And to be honest, right now, totally cool with that. Way back when, I was skittish about that for many, many reasons, like we've talked about. But I would have been more likely to bring one of those illustrated covers with me than I would have been to bring a man candy eye candy cover. So that would have been a little bit of a step towards that recovery, but still not the same. But, and like I said, I am very much a you do you type of person. So I'm not going to judge somebody for purchasing an illustrated cover versus an eye candy, man candy photographic cover. I'm not going to judge somebody for purchasing a discreet cover versus the original cover. You read what you want, how you want to read it. Kindle, paperback, I don't go into that either. I'm not judging somebody. If you're reading and you're enjoying what you're reading, I love that you're reading. And that's really all that I'm concerned with is that you're reading something. Oh, look, they're reading. Woohoo, go them. But wow, y'all, there have been some very exuberant, enthusiastic opinions in some online discussions about the people who do choose alternate and discrete covers. One of the interesting points that was brought up was that the discreet covers continue the attitude of book shaming that romance novels and their authors have been trying, that the authors of romance novels and their readers have been trying to eliminate, and that the discreet covers keep that shaming attitude going because the readers are continuing to keep their reading habits hidden. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. So I know that there is a stigma behind reading romance. I discussed that in episode one. I know that there's a push and a drive to eliminate that stigma, and that's part of why I'm doing what I do with writing the blog and posting and now the podcast, because the stigma bothers me on a lot of levels. The judgment behind it, the misconceptions behind it, really, I think we need to get past that. So I get the, if somebody's reading a discreet cover, they're hiding what they're reading, so they're promoting the concept of being shamed because of what they're reading. So, okay, I hear that, but here's my thoughts. If you're reading a romance novel with a discreet cover and it allows someone to read that novel where they normally wouldn't read it at all, I'm counting that as a plus. Because if that cover wasn't available, they may not have brought the book at all. And then the author loses a reader. So I'd rather have that author have that reader than not have them, because the reader's afraid to read what they're reading in public. Plus, again, I think it's up to each person to find their comfort zone. You've got to find that level where you're comfortable reading what you're reading, where you're reading, when you're reading, how you're reading it. Maybe that reader with that discreet cover is new to reading romance, and they're not as confident in defending themselves against the judgy busybodies yet. Because we know those judgy busybodies are out there, and we know they can be very vocal. And while you're sitting there reading your book, you may not want to have to deal with that. Or maybe they want to be able to read somewhere that a romance novel may not be professionally or situationally appropriate. I know a ton of preschool teachers who love to read during their students' nap times. So bring that discreet cover or that Kindle with you and read what you want to read while those kids are napping, because it may be the only time in your day that you get a chance to actually sit and read. And I am not going to tell you not to read because you can't bring the type of cover that you want to bring with you. So there's one. Now, there's other situations. Maybe they want someone to ask what they're reading instead of just giving that person the information from the cover. Maybe they're a bookstrovert and their goal is getting someone else to start a conversation by asking what they're reading so they can tell them all about it. You might not be comfortable starting a conversation about a book with someone, but if someone starts that conversation with you, that might give you the courage to say, oh, this is what I'm reading. Let me tell you all about it. I might be curious enough to ask if I saw an intriguing little title on the cover, but the cover didn't give it away by the picture. So I might be curious to say, ooh, I like the title of what you're reading. I think I might recognize the author's name, but I can't tell what you're reading from the cover. So, hey, give me more. Tell me about the book. What you're reading. And yes, even though I can be very, very introverted, I also, seeing someone reading a book for me is the little bit of the go-ahead that I need to talk to someone. So it may be the only way that you get me to talk to you in public if I'm in an introverted mood, is to see you reading a book. So I'm going to count that as a plus. And I'm going to take a sip of water. So if I see someone out there reading a novel that's obviously a romance novel, I consider them to be an insta-friend. If I encounter you out in the wild somewhere and you are reading a romance novel, even if it's one I've never read, and it's an author I've never heard of, or maybe just maybe heard of, but I can tell from the cover it's a romance novel, I am likely to just interrupt you and tell you how much I love romance novels. And if I do know the book and the author you're reading, we're book besties. And I will inadvertently monopolize your time talking about the book or the author until you give in and talk to me or just walk away. So your best bet if you're around me might be to have an illustrated or a discreet cover, because you might be the bookstrovert that doesn't want to talk to people. And you don't want them coming up to talk to you about the book that you're reading, because that's not in your comfort zone. And that's totally okay. So if going to your kid's soccer game, dance practice, waiting in the waiting room of the doctor's office with your discreet cover gives you the comfort level you need to not have people interrupt you because you're reading the most popular book out there, or not have people interrupt you because you're reading something that they also like to read, genre-wise, or allows people not interrupt you because they want to be judgy, bring that book and sit there and read that book. So it was a big step forward for me having a paperback that was identified as a romance novel. But I had to get there slowly. So if you're one of those people that has to get there slowly, go for it. I'm going to back you up 100% whatever you choose to buy and whatever you choose to read. So maybe a fan of an author wants to buy books for a friend or family member who they know is not quite comfy reading romance in public. You've gotten past your book snobbery, book travertism, whatever it happens to be, whatever you want to call it. And you're comfortable reading that book in public, but you have family members or friends who you know are not. But you want to buy them a book that you read, that you loved, and share that joy with them of that book. But you know, if you buy them a paperback, they're not going to read it because they're not going to feel comfortable with it. Problem solved. Discreet cover. You can gift them that book in front of a crowd of people. They can open it at that holiday celebration, birthday party, whatever, in front of all their judgy relatives and not have to justify or explain a damn thing. I mean, who doesn't want a book as a gift, right? I love to give books as gifts, whether I'm gifting someone a book through Kindle or I'm giving them a paperback that I saw that I love, or a hardcover book. Oh my gosh, you know, those are like gold, right? But I don't want somebody to feel uncomfortable opening a gift I give them, even though I know they read romance. Or maybe they've told me they want to try to read a romance novel, but they're not into Kindle, they like paperbacks. Having that discreet cover might be the perfect way to have them fall down the rabbit hole that I already love in romance novels. I'm not turning down the gift of a book. Ever. Never, ever, ever. You want to gift me a book? I'm going to take that book because, honestly, other than yarn, there's really no better gift you can get me other than a book, or maybe a bag, because I'm kind of a bag collector too. I think yarn and books and bags, they all kind of go together, right? But anyway, so if I'm coming to a party and I've got this great bag I want to give you and I want to get you a book to go with it, because I know you're trying to break into reading romance novels, but you're still squeamish about reading them in public and you love paperbacks, and I can find a discreet cover from a novel or an author that I love, that to me as a gift giver is gold. I can't go wrong, right? If I get that for you. But either way, isn't it kind of the reader's choice? If they want to read a book with a discreet cover, that is absolutely none of my damn business. So let's get past that now. The argument that was brought up in the group about shaming is valid. I get it. But I'm going to make the argument that you do you. Whatever gets you to read what you want to read and allows you to feel comfort with it is how you read. I'm going to turn it to a different side as well. Authors go through a lot to design their covers, right? And there's a financial side to these covers also. If an author can gain more readers selling paperbacks, if they have a discreet cover, that's a beautiful thing. Now, there's a shit ton of work, y'all, that goes into cover design. Talked to a lot of PAs and graphic designers and authors recently about this. And whether it's a photographic cover, an illustrated cover, or even the discreet covers, there's time and money involved in that process. Photographic covers also need graphic design beyond taking the photo, whether it's a stock photo or you're paying for an exclusive photo or paying for a non-exclusive photo from a specific photographer because you like it. There's graphic design expertise for titling, the fonts that you use, the spacing on it, where you put different things on it, adding or removing backgrounds to it, making the model and the pose match the theme of the book. Whether it's illustrated and you have to design the graphics for it, the pictures on it, whether it's hand-drawn or it's a clip art style, there's a lot that goes into that. A discrete cover is only one option that an author has to consider in the budget for their cover. And they have to decide if it's worth it to design, market, and print that discrete cover to increase their readership. And if it's worth it to them, then it's worth it to market it. Period. Right? Authors do not willy-nilly go out there. Oh my God, does that make me old to use that term willy-nilly? I think it just does. I think I just clarified that I am old. But authors don't just go out there and say, I'm going to slap this on the cover and hope it sells. The amount of time and effort they put into it is a product of how much they care about their book and their readers and the product they have to offer. Because, okay, wait, I think the brain squirrels are just about to start to take over here. I know, we started talking about discrete covers and everything else. Here we go. All right. Illustrated versus band candy versus discrete covers. You have a preference? Because I'm thinking about this now. If an author has a book and they have all three types of covers for that one book, everything on the inside is the same, but they have an eye candy, man candy, photographic cover, and an illustrated artistic cover, and a discreet cover. Do you have a preference? I love them all, as long as it's well made, which was another discussion recently about how much of an influence in your purchase is from the cover to begin with. Because I got to admit, it was important to me, and then it wasn't, and then now it is again. So, okay, here we go. Let me explain. When I first started reading, the eye-catching covers drew me in, no question. When that Kindle flash screen showed up with the Brittany Shaheen cover on it, and I was like, ooh, sexy man in the suit. I want to read this book. I bought the book because of the cover. Damn it. I totally bought the book because of the cover. And then I started finding the covers of, you know, the bare-chested, the band candy, eye candy. And I was like, ooh, I like that too. And I bought that book. I think it was a Samantha Cole book. I think it was, yes, it was a Samantha Cole book. It was one of her Trident Security books. And I was like, oh, sexy man on the cover. I want the book. So I bought that book. And then the illustrated covers, and I was like, oh, pretty, pretty covers. So beautiful. I was drawn to the books when I first started reading by their covers because I was a new reader and those ads were right there and they were eye-catching and they were flashing up on my Kindle screen and they were scrolling through on Facebook and they were showing up on Amazon when I was going to get other books. It was like sponsored book because you bought this and there were these beautiful covers and I was like, oh, pretty covers. I want all the pretty covers. They looked so pretty in the little library on my Kindle. They were wonderful. And then I started reading their books based on what other readers were recommending, and the covers didn't mean as much because I was just grabbing them from Kindle because somebody said, ooh, if you like this, you'll like this person's books. And I started grabbing them based on recommendations without even looking at the covers. But then, here we go, the circle's coming around again. I started posting reviews of the books I was reading on social media. And the graphic to go with the review contained the book cover. And I started noticing that, certain books, certain covers, the graphics worked better. And they became advertising of what I was reading and recommending to other people. And some covers naturally drew the eye and the attention more than others did. I was like, now, even though the covers don't matter to me, they might matter to other people because now I'm putting a graphic up with it. And the cover became part of the review. And I was like, interesting. And I even did a blog post way back when on covers. And I posted a poll in a bunch of groups. And the interesting part was that got me thinking even more was that even though a bunch of people posted that they rarely looked at the covers because they were like me, they were reading based on Kindle recommendations and other authors and What Are You Reading Wednesday and Saturday Night with a Book Boyfriend and the Alphas Ever After group and things like that. Those who did look at the covers had very specific opinions about their covers. And most of it came down to the genre they were reading. Interesting, right? So that male model eye candy cover sold hard in romantic suspense, really, really solid in paranormal, BDSM novels. They were all about that eye candy male model on the cover. But my rom-com reader friends and groups loved illustrated covers. And the Regency readers, they liked either a woman on the cover or a couple. Cool and weird. Nobody said discreet covers at that point. And I'm wondering if that was because they were relatively new or because I was specifically talking about what the cover looked like within groups that were relevant and relegated to, you know, people who were in specific genres, people who've been reading romance for a while, people who didn't have the hangups that I had and that a bunch of my friends had about not reading the paperback cover in public. Now, contemporary was really split. That was the only group that was split between the artistic photographic covers. Okay, think your farmhouse, idyllic setting, mountainscapes, things like that, and male cover models. But even those, it wasn't the bare chest. It was the shirt, like the open collar shirt or a suit or like even the books with just the sleeve of the dress shirt rolled up. You know, some arm porn in there. And illustrated covers fell into there also. So that contemporary had a lot of variety in it. And it was a really interesting discussion about how what people were reading drew their eye to different covers, like what they liked. And how the covers they liked drew them to certain genres. And then the discreet covers started to get more mention about, when do you buy a discreet cover? And do you? And why? And that really started that discussion in my head of, why does it matter? Because my first thought was, we're taught not to judge a book by its cover. The book itself and the person reading the book. But we do. We do judge people by the book they're reading. We judge the book they're reading by the cover of the book. So, okay, I got to wrap it up because I'm getting near to 30 minutes and I want you guys to have the rest of your life back. So here's my thoughts on this whole conversation. Brain squirrels and all. Authors spend a crap ton of time designing and choosing covers that best represent their work. And the vast majority of people looking for books on Amazon, in bookstores, and in libraries are still attracted by the visual cues. And a good or bad cover can make or break a book. Ads are still important to authors who market online. And flash, and sometimes flesh, sells. But building readership is also important to authors. And if they can accomplish that by offering a discreet cover, that's pretty damn important too. With today's world of social media outlets, you know, a book can go viral on TikTok without the cover ever being shown. So having multiple options for readers becomes as much of a selling point as the right book cover. And sometimes the right book cover is an illustrated cover with beautiful artwork. Sometimes it's an illustrated cover with humor. Sometimes it's a cover, artistic or photographic, that represents what's in the book, the theme of the book. Sometimes it's a photographic cover of eye-catching man candy, eye candy. And sometimes it's a discreet cover that allows a reader to read whatever the hell they want, wherever the heck they want, whenever the feck they want. And isn't that awesome that those options are out there? So if you see someone reading a discreet cover book and you have the inkling to ask them what they're reading, do it or don't. But don't judge. And if you see me out there reading my man candy cover or my illustrated cover or my discreet wow, you can tell it's 30 minutes, right? My discreet cover or my Kindle, and you want to ask me what I'm reading, I'm going to invite you to ask me what I'm reading because you want to know what another reader is reading. Just be prepared for the discussion, because we will have a discussion about what I'm reading, because if I'm reading it in public, that means I want you to know what I'm reading. And I'm going to enjoy that conversation, whether you're asking me because you know what I'm reading or you don't. So I'm still waiting on Old Response help with a nifty intro with my info on it and a little ukulele music in the background. But for now, just know you can find me, Brazen, at the blog, brazensblog.com. And you can also access the draft for my ramblings for each podcast on the blog. There's a page for that now, where you can see my notes of what I started with and compare it to where I wound up, because I don't even think it's close today. You'll find me there. And it's, let me spell it again for you. It's BRAYZENSBLOG.com, brazensblog.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, on Instagram and TikTok as Brazen Bookworm. And again, remember, it's BRAYZENBOOKWYRM, because I like those Ys. I'm weird that way. Drop into Facebook or Instagram, send me an email, let me know what you'd like to hear me ramble about next. You can message me or you can make a comment on the posts or send me a direct email. Either way, it's fine. And that's it for today. I'm so glad you've decided to pop in and join me on this adventure in podcasting, and I cannot wait to connect with y'all again.